Prologue, Utah, 1871. Cecily Sheldon grumbled and moved away from the hearth, carrying the bucket full of ashes. The soot coating her skin made her hands itch, and the stench that clung to her clothes made her want to vomit. She didn't even want to think about what her father and brothers did in the hearth after she'd gone to bed at night, but by the smell, she had a pretty good idea. She carried the bucket outside and dumped it in the patch of dead weeds that were frozen from the last frost. Most of the time, January weather in Utah couldn't decide if it was winter or spring. So far this year, it was a cold winter. A light breeze teased the hairs that clung to her moistened brow and cheek. She'd been working nonstop since daylight. Actually, it was before daylight. Their rooster just wouldn't stop squawking this morning. Using the back of her hand, she wiped the sweat off her forehead. Realizing too late that the soot coating her hand had probably made her face even dirtier. What did it matter? It wasn't like she wanted to impress anyone. She was past the age that most women married. At 25, she was considered an old maid. Nobody would want her anyway. If they ever discovered what her father and brothers did for a living, she hurried back inside the log cabin and to the hearth again. Monday was reserved for cleaning out the fireplace and washing down the sides. Her father and brothers were filthy animals, and when they invited their friends over, the house turned into a pigsty. On her knees inside the hearth, she finished shoveling the remaining ashes. She held her breath for as long as possible, but coughed a few times to return the air into her lungs. A loud knock shook the front door, breaking the silence in the house. She jumped, bumping her head against the brick. A sting ricocheted through her skull, and she quickly rubbed the sore spot as she pulled away. Grumbling under her breath, she moved to the door and opened it. At first, the glare from the sun blocked the person at the door, and she used her hand to shade the brightness. When the man came into view, she sucked in a quick breath. He wore a dark blue frock coat, a black waistcoat, white shirt, and blue necktie. It surprised her to see a gentleman with shiny boots at her house. Usually the people who came to visit were her father's good-for-nothing friends, the kind that robbed banks and stagecoaches for the fun of it. The man in front of her quickly removed his derby hat, displaying a full head of sandy brown hair as he bowed slightly. His gaze moved over her, and his pleasant expression quickly changed. Disgust registered in his dreamy gray eyes. Even his smile appeared forced. Inwardly, Cecily groaned. She didn't need to ask. No doubt she looked a fright. Then again, today was cleaning day. He would just have to understand that she wasn't prepared for visitors. He straightened and cleared his throat.
Good morning. My name is Mr. Broderick Tanner, and I'm looking for Mr. Red Sheldon. I was told he lived here.
Fear shook through Cecily, but she tried to keep a straight face. She couldn't let Mr. Tanner know how frightened she was at this very moment. Most people knew her father as Jack. If someone referred to him as Red, they were either part of her father's gang of outlaws or a lawman coming to arrest him. She scanned over him again and searched for signs of his true profession. The man's bold gaze stayed on her, proving he was confident and had nothing to hide. The tone of his voice hadn't wavered when he spoke, and determination was etched in his expression. Mr. Tanner was nothing like her father's friends. Indeed, this man was a lawman. She knew the day would come when her criminal father and brothers were caught, but she'd hoped to have made a life for herself before then. But now, she wasn't ready to live on her own. Since pretending was natural for her, it was easy to look confused.
I'm sorry, sir, but nobody lives here by that name.
He arched an eyebrow.
This isn't where Jack Sheldon lives?
She shook her head.
No, I reckon they moved out 2 months past. I've lived here for that long, but I never knew who was in this house before us.
Us? So you're not alone?
His gaze narrowed as it moved past her and swept through the front room. He didn't believe her story. Distrust was evident in his eyes. She must make him believe.
I live with my grandparents, Thelma and Leroy Masters. I'd have you speak with them, but they are in town at the moment.
Frowning, he scratched his strong chin. That's very odd. Someone in town just told me this is where I would find Red.
I'm sorry, but they were mistaken. Perhaps it's the house 2 miles upstream.
She pointed in the direction.
I haven't met our neighbors, but I'm sure my grandparents have.
He watched her closely. His scrutiny made her nervous. But she didn't dare fidget, because she'd inadvertently let him know she was lying. Finally, his face relaxed. He nodded and settled the hat on his head again.
Forgive me for interrupting your cleaning. It was nice to meet you.
She gave him a forced smile.
And you too.
With a shaky hand, she closed the door and expelled an uneven breath.
Too close.
Her father and brothers had kept their family hidden for years, but once in a while, a lawman came looking. That's when they packed up and left. Cecily had never approved of her outlaw family's lifestyle. After Ma died when Cecily was 10, her father started robbing stagecoaches, and then when her brothers were old enough, they added banks to their list of targets. They had lived all over the United States, starting out in Tennessee and ending in Utah. They never lived in one place long enough for her to make friends. Then again, how could she make friends when she had an unlawful family? She groaned and massaged the throb in her forehead. This was not the life she wanted. If only she could break away from her family and start over on her own. Unfortunately, the only skill she could claim was knife throwing. How could she make money doing that? Today's upset was the very thing that pushed her. She would leave. Soon. She didn't want to be arrested just because she was the daughter of the famous outlaw Red Sheldon. Starting tomorrow, she'd look for a new pathway. She just prayed there was indeed something out there for her.